141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a blockbuster set of New Year fixtures. The gap at the top is now 11 points after Rangers beat Celtic 3-0 at Ibrox. Dundee United are up to third, winning that derby as Aberdeen continue to slide, and St Johnston are starting to get cut adrift with big wins for Hearts, Ross County and Kilmarnock above them. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me you have Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans.
Well, Celtic were Rangers' first foot yesterday, but the first foot turned out to be second best, if you get my drift. Rangers thoroughly deserved their win. Celtic got off lightly, losing 3-0, and now both clubs have to face the weekend and see what impact, good or bad, the result yesterday has had on Celtic against St Mirren and Rangers away to the Hibs.
Well, Philip Clement's first win against Celtic, a great team performance for me. I thought Rangers well deserving of the 3-0, if not more. Had to take some of the chances he created. Dundee United obviously leapfrogging Aberdeen. What a first start to the season for Jim Goodwin that's been. And as you said, St Johnson struggling a bit at the bottom of the league. Hibs pick up another point and they'll be fancying Rangers at home on Sunday.
Come on then, 0141 951 1025. What a way to start the year. It's only 3 days old and the big talking points from Scottish football are everywhere. None more so than Ibrox yesterday, obviously. So what does it feel like the day after, Rangers fans? How do you look back on it? What impressed you? What pleased you? What do you take away from it? Is it the start of something? Or do you wake up today and still look at the 11 points and think that's far too big to be overcome between now and the end of the season? And what about you Celtic fans? Because I'm pretty sure you wouldn't have seen it coming. So where did it go wrong for your perspective? Still confident you fix it? Any fingers pointed at players or team selection or whatever it may be? You know the drill after a big game. There's always so many talking points. It is the fixture that usually sees a post-mortem lasting somewhere between 6 to 9 months. However, both teams play on Sunday, as Hugh Keevans quite rightly points out. So things moving on very, very quickly. Give us your calls on 0141 951 1025. Let's take in all your thoughts on that game yesterday. And it was a full fixture card. It was a brilliant fixture card. So really no shortage of talking points. We'll take some from you St Mirren fans, Kilmarnock fans. You went head to head yesterday. Motherwell fans, that would have been a disappointment at Tynecastle. If there's anything else you want to get off your chest, this, as always, is the place to do it. So come on, 0141 951 1025. That is the number that you need. And to whet your appetite, just in case you need it, I don't think so, your result of, it's usually the weekend, yeah, your result of Thursday, Hugh,
got to be the one that moved the dial, and that is Rangers 3, Celtic 0. The Rangers fans have waited 20 months for that joyous event in their eyes. And the first caller after the game last night, Maureen, who baked a cake during the game out of anxiety because her husband and son were Celtic fans. They were off to watch the match in the pub, and she baked a cake as a Rangers fan out of sheer anxiety as the 90 minutes went on. Only in this city.
Dundee United for me, obviously up to third. Jim Goodwin leapfrogging his former employees, another big result for them, obviously beating Aberdeen previously, and then on to Dundee at Dens, not an easy place to go. Sam Dalby again on the score sheet, so Dundee United for me.
Goal of the day?
Got to be Yanis Hadji for me, beating Kasper Schmeichel from that distance. Schmeichel, sensational signing by Celtic, but he could not get near it. And you wonder now, if Hadji had been in the team earlier and on a more regular basis, would the gap be as big as it is between Celtic and Rangers?
I'm going to go for Akil Wright at Ross County. At snowy Pittodrie, not an easy surface to play on. That's why he's volleyed it right into the top corner. That was a cracker. Ross County pick up another away win.
Okay, what about your howler of the day, Scott Allen?
I'm going to go for Aberdeen. 2 weeks on the bounce, just the collapse, no wins in nine now. Struggling to find any form, missed a lot of chances come the end of the game. You can kind of feel that nervousness set in with the players. So Aberdeen again for me.
Your howler of the day, Hugh Keevans?
Got to go serious now, because whoever the moron was who threw the coin at Arna Engels at Ibrox, how on earth do you celebrate your team's 3-0 win by endangering the safety of another human being?
See, that's the point. The howler of the week is supposed to be fun, and yet you and Roger Hanna have been forced, quite rightly, into giving it to Dafties throwing stuff from the stands. Roger Hanna doing it for the game at Tannadice last week. So if nothing else, let's try and sort out the howler of the week on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, although it's much more serious than that. And to round it off, your top man, top performer.
I'm going to go Sam Dalby at Dundee United. Not only do United go third top, what an achievement for Jim Goodwin, but he also goes to the top of the scoring charts. He's on loan from Wrexham. He might be recalled by Wrexham because he's been too clever for his own good at Tannadice.
What is it they say? Never fall in love with a loan player.
Yeah.
Because it could happen in a couple of weeks for these United fans.
Or as Jim Goodwin's spin on it was, love him while you've got him. Sam Dalby.
Top man for you.
Nico Raskin for me. All action, captain's performance. Philip Comot needed a leader in there, and that's what he certainly gave his side and the Rangers fans. So for me, on the front foot the full game, and had a massive impact. So Nico Raskin.
Okay then, let's get stuck right in. Between now and 8 o'clock, it is Friday night, in case you're still struggling with that. 01419511025. We're looking back, of course, on a full fixture card yesterday, with the top billing going to the game at Ibrox. The teams all play again this weekend on Sunday, so no time really to dwell. But of course, we start by looking back, as we always would do. Give us a shout on 01419511025, just like Scott in Cambus Lang has done. How's it going, Scott?
I'm no bad, Gordon. How are you, mate? All right.
Good.
Happy New Year to you.
Yep, same to you, Scott. What made you call tonight?
Right, listen, the All Firm game, right? You know, I just think every single one of these Celtic players didn't turn up. Right? Liam Scales shouldn't be wearing another Celtic top, in my opinion. Matati, you know, I've been known for forgotten. I go to games, home, I've season ticket and whatever else. This thing with Hatati is no new thing. Is this, he's been this for weeks upon weeks upon weeks, he's no playing, right? Drop him, right? You've got Luke McGowan there, who is sitting, waiting in the wings. Celtic fan will run through brick walls for you, right? Replace him, put Luke McGowan on, give the boy a chance, right? I think to the point, I don't think it was a point of getting beat. It was how we get beat, right? And that's the most frustrating thing, because you know when you're going to Ibrox, you know you're going to get a game here. Not one of them played. Not one of them. Not one of them can get a gold star to say that, you know, they were... You know what I'm saying, no, Gordon? Mm-hmm. Not one of them. Not one of them can say and hold their head up high and say, we fought for the jersey or we fought for whatever. It was horrendous.
Can I just put Scales into perspective? From my point of view, Scott, when during the Premier Sports Cup final against Rangers, Austin Trustee had an awful first half, Brendan Rodgers took him off and put Scales on, and Scales helped win the cup for Celtic. How 3 weeks later can you then call on the man never to wear the jersey again? It's completely over the top. It's a failure to understand the professional game, that there will be days. As you've said yourself, every Celtic player was a letdown yesterday. So why single out Scales?
90% of his passing at Ibrox went to a Rangers player. Right? And as I said to you, you know, I see this week in, week out. You know, and it's just abiding time. He does it all the time. He's just passing. He's passing... Me with Scales, if he's got to think about it, that's the problem. If he needs to do it just over the bat, that's fine. But at Ibrox, 90% of his passing was gone wayward or gone straight to a Rangers player.
I do understand your point about Hatate. He has played in a fairly in and out fashion all season long. I do wonder at times why the £11 million Arne Engels doesn't get more game time. But I think it's the shock factor now for the Celtic fans, yourself included, because this hasn't happened for a year, nearly 2 years. The scattergun has come out. Everybody's getting it. But I can assure you, there was no player on the pitch yesterday who will never play for Celtic again.
Scott, I wonder if one of the points that your namesake, Scott and Cambus Lang, made is the most relevant one about... It's not about getting beat. It was the scale of it. I've always had, and I've said that numerous times in the show, had a really boring outlook in the fixture, because I think, well, Rangers were going to win one at some point. We always got really, you get really caught up in it, and you think that, you know, when Celtic go on this run, it means that Rangers will never win one again. Football just doesn't work like that, and they were going to win one.
Yeah.
But I think if we're all being honest with ourselves, nobody, even the most optimistic Rangers fan, probably saw the, you know, the level of, well, or the margin of victory coming in the way that it took place.
Yeah, I don't think we could have foreseen that it was going to be a 3-0, and that Celtic, the potent attack that they do have and the creation that they have in their side, that they were going to hardly give Liam Kelly a save to make the full day. I think that was maybe my biggest shock for me. We can talk about energy and desire and fighting for the jersey. Yes, that should just be a given anyway for me if you're playing for Celtic. But I think in the attacking areas, they just didn't trouble Rangers at all. Out with the Kyogo, obviously, offside goal was that one moment of quality, but Kyogo does show you a fantastic finish. I just think Rangers set up and that aggression in their play, that was as if they were set up to play for Scales, yeah, to play these straight passes into midfield and then jump right on it, and that's what they've done time and time again.
There's another fascination for me, Hugh, we're all, in this fixture, is we tie ourselves in knots, because when you say that Celtic weren't good, then Rangers fans say, yeah, but that was down to us. Don't, you know, yeah, it was us, we stopped them. And both can be true. It can all be true. I don't know why we have to worry so much. So I want to ask Scott about that balance, because clearly the way Rangers pressed and set up had a massive impact.
Yeah, they were setting traps.
But at the same time, did certain players, like some of the ones that Scott mentioned, underperform as well?
Yeah, I think technically they underperformed for the high standard that side set this season. No question about that. I think the amount of unnecessary passes given away, unforced errors, balls out the park, that's something that we're not used to seeing with this Celtic side. So that is you can put that down to Rangers as well, though, just because the aggression and the pressure they had, and obviously the occasion of it being an Old Firm game at Ibrox. So they all kind of factor into the performance that you got, which what you do expect is when Celtic went in at half time 1-0 down, you expected a response, and that would be the worrying thing for me. They didn't get that. They didn't get that calmness in their play at all, and Rangers just went toe-to-toe, won all the individual duels, and that's why they came out winners. And then
in the context of this fixture, under Brendan Rodgers the first time around, Ange Postecoglou, and then Brendan Rodgers the second time around, that is without question the worst performance given by a Celtic side against Rangers.
But then does probably coincide with one of the best Rangers performances in that time.
I listened to the Manchester United manager, Ruben Amorim, earlier on today, talking about their match with Liverpool at the weekend. And everyone expects Liverpool to beat Man United in the same way that everyone expected Celtic to beat Rangers yesterday. And Amorim said, it's a one-off game of football. Anything can happen. When it gets to the end of the season, the best team will win the title. But in a one-off game of football, anything could happen. And it happened at Ibrox yesterday.
Any wider points that worry you, Scott? I don't suppose you're too concerned about the 11 points, or is it a sign that things are turning? Are you buying any of that stuff?
No, I don't think that whatsoever. I think the point, Gordon, is thank God we're 11 points in front. If we were only 2 points in front, I think it would hurt more, right? We've got that cushion over the 11 points. And yes, it is a one-off game. Yes, we did have a bad game. However, you know, it's probably, as I say, Gordon, the bragging rights, right? And it's a sore one. And it's, as I said to you, it's no that we get beat, it's how we get beat. And it do seem to be there was no oomph in Celtic whatsoever yesterday. None whatsoever. None. It looks like they didn't want to win it at all. You know, but going to the striking force point, you know, as I say, watch Celtic week in, week out. Yeah. You know, and Kyogo makes his runs and he's no getting the ball, and that all comes from midfield preparation. That comes from, you know, obviously the day training every day, and they know what Kyogo's like. He plays on the last shoulder, he plays in between defenders, and they just keep on passing it side to side. So Kyogo gets frustrated a lot of the times, you know. So it showed yesterday when there was one great ball, he was offside, unfortunately. Right, so I just think there's no big, how can I put this, there's no big fear because we are 11 points ahead, right? There's no big, you know, shaking the foundations, whatever. But we need to go out on Sunday and we just need to play as we were playing and obviously just keep on gathering the points, you know, because we are 11 points ahead and me personally, I think the league's won. But as I say, yesterday was just a bragging rights, Gordon. That's all it was. It was just bragging rights.
That's it. Yeah. That's this city. You know, the fact that it perhaps will have no bearing at all on the outcome of the championship doesn't matter. The fact is that Rangers won, and won by a convincing margin, and that's why the Celtic fans are outraged and the Rangers fans are joyous.
What was it about Rangers' setup then that made it so hard for Liam Scales or Rio Hatate or whoever to...
Just the setup centrally. Rangers had set the traps because they know Celtic like to play through and then out and move your back four and your midfielder. So it was similar in the cup final as well. Rangers really nullified Celtic centrally. They didn't really see the wee give and goes. Cal McGregor got caught in the ball a lot more than you ever do see him. So when you set up to play that way, you need to work it, and I get as a fan it's frustrating because going, we can't get through this, so you need to go wide, then back across and try and get back in. But because Rangers' whole setup was based on Celtic playing through there, they had worked it, they'd planned it. The thing that Rangers fans have been asking for, come on, all season.
Thank you very much to Scott on the line. What about Alec, who's through as well? How's it going, Alec?
How you doing, Gordon?
Good here.
Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
To Chew and a bit to Scott, please.
Oh, they're both listening. What did you make of it?
Well, I made it well. Chew said there, you're expecting to get beat sometime, obviously, but it was just the way and the manner they get beat. I was a wee story. You just said there, Chew, about Liverpool and a one-off game. I was over my daughter's on Christmas night, and my granddaughter was there, and her boyfriend was coming over later on to meet us for the first time. He's got a season ticket for Ibrox. So he started, I was told not to start talking about football, and I didn't. And the boys started talking about football, right? And the next thing he was going, I'm all worried, and I'm worried what's going to happen. We're playing this and that, and the next thing, really bad. And we're going to get a doing. I said, listen, son, Chew, yeah. I'm like you, I've been doing this thing for decades. I know I'm 76, you're 75, right?
Correct.
I said, look, son, just wait till the day comes. I said, I've been to games that are great top favourites, and Rangers won. And it was the other way round about, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I thought somebody was coming to meet the family after the game, Alec. You had me excited there.
No. But,
you're talking to somebody, Alec, who got married on the day that Rangers played Celtic. So I've been in the picture before.
And she's not left you yet, which is quite something.
I can't even mind you. I mean, that was a few years back. I think you said something about your first great game, Old Firm game. You went to a pal that your mother didn't even know you were away with, correct?
That's right. She gave me a right hammering when I get back.
What year would that be, Chew?
I was 10 years old, so it's 65 years ago.
Well, I was 12 when I went to I seen my first one of the Tweed Straw at Ibrox. It was my sister's boyfriend at the time, who she actually married. He took me my first league game at the tail end of 60-61, and then I was at the cup final at Hampden, draw. Dunfermline beat us 2-0 in the replay. Jockstein, the manager.
Yeah, I remember well, yeah.
So that was my first game there, and then my first Old Firm game was at Ibrox, 2-0. I mind that.
What is this, Alex? See this stuff about, you know, having kind of experienced it all and kind of knowing that these things can happen. Does that make it hurt any less? Does it mean you're more accepting of it yesterday?
Well, at my age, if I go back a number of years, I'd have been going off my head, you know what I mean? No. You realise that you can't win every game, you know.
What about the manner of the defeat?
Terrible. Disgraceful. And I heard you saying about Liam Scales, he helped Celtic win the cup, because of course Celtic, because he gave up, he should have gave away a penalty.
I heard about that incident.
Yeah, I
am fascinated by this.
But Scales is turning into a whipping boy. I don't
sure,
like this.
And I'm not saying it's right, but I am fascinated by this Trusty Scales thing, where Scales obviously starts when Trusty first arrived because he's got the goodwill in the tank, and then Trusty plays and it's Atalanta and it's all that stuff, and everyone says, oh well, that's the first choice pairing. Look at those two together. And then all it takes is one wobbly half against Rangers. Scales comes on. And I take both your points. You say he helped Celtic win the cup, which he did. Alec and others, though, would say, but he didn't have a brilliant individual day with
no
penalty gate and all that sort of stuff. But he stayed in. Does Austin Trusty now go back in?
I think it would be for the best if Liam Scales sat out the St Mirren game on Sunday and Trusty came in. After all, it cost Celtic £6 million. He had formed a more than decent partnership with Cameron Carter-Vickers. Unless there is some injury problem that's holding him back, and that's why he didn't come on at half-time yesterday in the manner of the cup final. But if there is no impediment to Trusty playing on Sunday, I would play him and let Liam Scales sit this one out because, as I say, the fans have taken a dangerous turn where he's concerned.
Thank you very much to Alec. 0141 951 1025. It's a good time to call. We'll get you on next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans are here. Give them a call. Let them know what you made of the big game yesterday and any of the other talking points from across Scottish football. Scott is on in Falkirk. How's it going, Scott?
Not bad, how are you?
Not bad, not bad. What jumped out for you yesterday then?
Well, to be honest, like, I'm not going to take anything away from Tavernier, to be honest, not playing, but I think it would have been a totally different game him playing. Like, he just can't defend anymore. I'm not going to take anything away from our captain, but like, Red Band against me, it was a totally different ball game. And everyone on the pitch was fantastic. I think the catalysts were Raskin and Hadji was outstanding. Like, I think there was a bit of revenge that we were looking to take yesterday against Celtic after that cup final defeat. We'll not go into the whole penalty debacle, but I just think that there was a bit between our teeth yesterday and we wanted to really go at Celtic. Can this be a catalyst? I don't know. Balogun would have been probably the only defender I would have actually put back in the back four. I've already given my opinion in the past about Suter, but I don't, and everyone's a little bit different, I don't particularly rate Suter. But I've said that loads of times. So no, it was a fantastic performance yesterday, and it was just so much better playing through the middle than going down the wing and just Tavernier whipping a ball at the box all the time, or passing it back and then going to the left hand side and then try to whip a ball back in the box again and Celtic heading it clear. It was just so much better playing Celtic through the middle, attacking them, and it's better, and cutting off Callum McGregor as well, because he not saying runs the show, but in midfield he is the main man for Celtic, and we closed him down fantastically yesterday as well.
Is that, you know, the remarkable thing about it? This was a depleted Rangers team, an injury hit Rangers team, a defence and goalkeeper, you know, unrecognisable from what you would have predicted. Yeah. So let's say there's a rematch tomorrow and everybody's fit. I mean, James Tavernier still starts the game, doesn't he? You can see why that's a really strange headspace for the Rangers fans.
I think right now, in the immediate aftermath of the game, the Rangers fans are thinking Raskin's a better captain than Tavernier, and Raskin get in about them and get in about Callum McGregor and so on and so forth. But Rangers are the ultimate enigma. They were rank rotten against St Mirren, rank rotten against Motherwell, and come out and wipe the floor with Celtic. So, you know, we'll see where both go from here. But Scales is getting it from the Celtic fans, and now Tavernier, Rangers were better because Tavernier wasn't there. That's the way fans think.
How impressive was it, Scott, with those players that played, mm-hmm. you know, either out of position or coming into the team? What impressed you most?
I thought Yilmaz was fantastic. I felt he'd really dealt with Maeda, but I think it all kind of stemmed for the organisation that Rangers had. Obviously, speaking about Rangers playing through and not obviously going down the sides and whipping balls in, but most of Rangers' chances came from actually winning the ball back from Celtic high up. That comes from working hard and training all week and having a set-up to stop players like Callum McGregor. If he plays well, then Celtic tick, stopping the service into Maeda's and Coons and all these threats that Celtic have. So most of Rangers' good play came from the organisation and the set up to stop Celtic playing, and that's why they were at Celtic's back four so many times in the game.
As you always say, Gordon, two things can be true at the same time. I thought Rangers' attitude and mentality was absolutely first class, and Celtic's attitude and mentality were poor. I honestly think that the loss of Balogun, then Tavernier, then Butland, I think in the deepest subconscious, all of the fans certainly thought, oh, it would be an easy one for Celtic. And I'm afraid some of the Celtic players looked as if they thought it would be easy as well.
Is this the start of anything, Scott? Does it get you excited? Does it make you think there's any life left in the title? Or is this just about trying to take a step in the right direction?
I'm not sure, to be honest. It needs to be a kick on from where we're at. But look, it's right to say, look, Cav is a great player, and you know, overall, does he come back in? But for me, no. Look, we need to be set up playing through the middle and attacking all the time. And no disrespect to Tavernier, every time he's on that pitch, all he does is cross the balls into the box, right? And if you watch him, it's repeat. It's go down the right-hand side. Then if he comes up against someone, he turns back and plays it backward, right? That leads to then going back to Butland then playing it out. We cycle it going down the left-hand side. We whip a ball in, right? And we need to stop that. We need to start playing attacking through the middle and actually hitting shots. Like, I remember I was a while back, I don't remember it, right? Going off the top here, but David Martin, Gale from Livingston, said that Rangers are so predictable because all we do is whip balls into the box and all the opposition need to head that way. We can't continue that, especially...
But it's different, Scott, isn't it, when you're up against a different level of opposition, and the Celtic had over 60% of the ball, did next to nothing with it, by the way, but...
Rangers stopped Celtic playing through the middle because they put the midfield full of bodies and made it
but
really
that's
difficult.
Why it's different, isn't it?
Where you could play Hibs on Sunday, for instance,
and
Hibs,
it might be that Rangers cross the ball into the box a lot.
They need to because, use the sides because yeah. it's too compact through the middle. All the bodies, you flood the middle of the
park. It's been Rangers' challenge for years, yeah. Is it not? Trying to break down teams rather than, and I know it's not necessarily worked against Celtic, but that whole European thing, this notion that Rangers look more comfortable when they can have less of the ball but nick it off teams. That's always been the case, really, hasn't it, in the last few seasons?
Yeah, for me, listen, I understand what Scott is saying in terms of it works against Celtic, but that's because Celtic are the team trying to build through your midfield that then led to you winning the ball back and then getting at them.
See on Scott's general point then, how does this... Let's say James Tavernier's fit for the weekend, and I don't want to look ahead too much because we've not fully looked back, but as a hypothetical, they're all fit at the weekend... You've come off your best domestic performance of the season. Yilmaz wouldn't play right back, would he?
Why not?
Or would he? That's what.
Well, yeah, I think. And if you're going down to just the basics of football, usually you don't change a winning team.
Yeah.
But sports science will have something to say about that.
Let's move sports science aside for one moment. I believe if James Tavernier was fully fit at the weekend, would you just keep it the way it was?
I'd go with yesterday's team. I think it would. Please fans and. You could see the logic and reason behind it.
You've earned it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You've earned it here. It's simple as that.
But then again, maybe it is a different, if it's a horses for courses argument, maybe if you do have more of the ball, you're less inclined to play. If you've got more of the ball, you're less inclined to play a left footed player out of position.
Not if he's having that many shots in on goal. Yeah. One of them's going to fly.
I think he was a man on a personal mission yesterday, Yilmaz, because you know, he missed the penalty in the cup final. And we saw his distress on that particular day. And he was our man on a mission yesterday. Point number one, to come off the field as part of the winning team. But also, if he could, get a goal into the bargain. So, yeah, I'd play exactly the same starting 11 against Hibs on Sunday.
You can give us your thoughts. We don't have to get too hung up on the team for Sunday yet. It was just a good example, I think, that Scott raised. What about Graham and Belshill? What jumped out for you, Graham?
Hi, good evening, Gordon. Nice to speak to you again.
And you?
I was at the game yesterday. So a couple of things that I did pick up on was the general pace that Rangers played at was so much faster. And I don't just mean when we had the ball, but things like taking corners, getting the throw-ins back in. It was something that we always kind of moaned about was, you know, you'd see Tavernier trudging across out of the park to go take a corner, and it would slow it down and it would allow the other team to regroup and things. Everything was at full pace. You could see them desperate to get the ball back in to play again. I think that one of the things that I would say is that I think the Rangers learned a lot from the cup final, and I don't think Celtic did. I don't know what you think about that.
Learned what exactly, Graham?
Well, I think for one of the points that somebody made was the shutting down of Callum McGregor, and I think that. We deployed Barani in that position in the cup final, and we really nullified Callum McGregor. I think he's an amazing player. Listen, it doesn't matter what team he plays for. I think he's a phenomenal player, and he does pull the strings for Celtic, and a lot comes through him. And when we put Varane on him in the cup final, we really showed them what we could do against them. You know, I think we gave them a fright. Now, I think we learned from that and we deployed it again yesterday.
Yeah.
That allowed them the freedom of Hadji, Cherney, those guys in front of them, even Diomande running forward. I think that allowed that to happen. Now, Varane's not a defensive-minded player. He's a number 10 by rights. But he's sacrificing himself almost to play that role, which allowed the other guys to play forward.
That's a fair comment. I've never seen Callum McGregor have a less effective game, certainly not in the context of the Old Firm. And, you know, two games within the space of days and Celtic have lost six goals to Rangers. So I think your point is a valid one, that lessons have not been learned.
It must be a collective effort, Scott, though, where that full team has to be all fulfilling their roles, because I know there have been times where Rangers have sat off, but it's not like they've never tried to stop Callum McGregor before. They have tried to stop Callum McGregor before and it maybe hasn't worked. Maybe the person closest to him isn't fulfilling their job, or they are, but there's gaps elsewhere that Callum McGregor can then exploit. Is it not just that everything worked in Rangers' structure, which then led to nothing working in Celtic structure, and, you know, it's that sort of collective effort?
Yeah, I don't think you can have a performance like yesterday without everyone doing their job for the team perfectly, which I felt they did. I think Barami, I know we're talking about he's not a defensive player, but you can be around Callum McGregor, and when he does lose the ball, you're there in positions to then go and create. I played that position myself, and a lot of the times he would want you to sit in a number six, and if you did turn the ball over, you're off the back of the number six because they've maybe been caught on the ball or gave the ball away. So I just felt, to a man, Rangers, the intensity, the aggression, wanting to work for each other, probably that fact as well, that they knew they were down to the bare bones, and just what, going that extra wee 10 yards for each other, it all clicked into place, and lessons learned from the final, no question for me as well.
Where are you in the big picture, Graham? What is this? I've heard catalyst, turning point, stepping stone, step in the right direction, whatever cliche you want. Is a title charge on? Are you that excited? I don't know.
I mean, I think the title's probably over. I don't think Celtic are going to crumble in the back of this, and that's what Rangers would require. I think that we could learn from this, and we've now adapted our style. I think, you know, what Scott was saying in the previous call about not just whipping the ball in from the side, we actually have the ball at Jeremy's feet and he's running into the box. We're not just whipping them from out wide. Things like that are making a difference. Now, it could improve their performances and we could start on a good run, but we would also need a collapse from Celtic, and I think that well, it's sore for Celtic. They're still a damn good team, and I think that it's unlikely that that's going to happen. I think what it has done, though, is woken everybody else up to the fact that hopefully Rangers have now got a style. Clement's obviously now learning. I think the problem we have in Scotland is that we don't know how to play the other games as well. We don't know how to defeat the block, and I'm hoping that, you know, going through the middle and not just recycling it round the back and out wide again, which we tend to do when we're trying to play against low blocks, we can actually take some, you know, points from the game of yesterday, that actually being direct through the middle is something that we can do as a team.
Yeah, let's hear from the man himself then. Thank you very much to Graham. Philippe Clement, it was his first win in the fixture, but he says it wasn't for him, it was all about the team.
Yeah, for the team. I told you guys already a few times, I'm not here for myself. So, yeah, very pleased that they get the reward that they deserve. So they didn't get it in this League Cup final, and that was a harsh one, a cruel one, what we talked about. Today they didn't get it, they grabbed it, and that's what I want to see. So it was a well-deserved victory. It was a very strong collective victory with some players playing out of position also, but doing a very good job, players stepping in who didn't play so much. So I'm very pleased that everybody from the outside can see all the hard work that the players have been doing the last couple of months.
Come on then, Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen waiting in your thoughts. So 0141 951 1025. We'll speak to you next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans are here looking back on today's football. Tomorrow, yesterday's football. I've got what day of the week it is. Don't know where I am. Don't know what year it is. But anyway, give us your thoughts on 01419511025. What actually did scramble my head is because I was thinking of a story to tell you from earlier on where I was up at Rangers training ground doing some work and one of the youth team players, and my apologies, I don't know the name, but shouted over and just said, "Who's on the show tonight?" And I said, "Hugh Evans and Scott Allen." And he went, "Oh, Scott Allen, I'm fed up with him." I don't know who he was, and I now don't know the end of that story. I don't know if it's somebody you've got history with. I don't know if it's somebody that's got a dislike for you. I don't know if it's somebody that was joking, and I'll never know. And just off he went into the day. That's going to eat him up as well.
Yeah.
He's going to overthink that.
He said, "Interesting, like a James Bond movie."
I wish I hadn't told him, I have to say. Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers after we heard from Philippe Clement a bit earlier on. Lots of post-match analysis, but let's hear from the managers. Brendan Rodgers says the better team won, disappointed by result and performance.
Very disappointed we both. I thought the best team won, so gratitude to Rangers. I thought they had the edge in the game that we never had. We started okay for 3-4 minutes, how we'd want in their half, but then we made too many mistakes with the ball today. And obviously one of them leading to their first goal, and I think from that it gives them a lift to defend that lead and gives the stadium a lift. And then and from that we never really responded. So, attacking-wise, again, we never had so much in the game, so really, really disappointed with the performance and clearly the result.
Let's go back to the phones and bring in Danny. How's it going, Danny?
Hi, fine.
Good. What are you thinking?
Well, I'm thinking, why did we spend 27 million on players that were sitting on the bench?
So you're obviously talking about Arnott Ingles, Adam Ida, Luke McCowan,
Austin Trusty.
Austin Trusty, yes. That comes to £27 million. I've said before, Danny, that I feel that if you buy a player and bust the transfer record at the club, in other words, Arnott Ingles, I'm a little surprised at not starting with him. Ida, for me, Celtic paid too much for Adam Ida, and I'd never have him in front of Kyogo. Kyogo would always be my first choice. With regard to Luke McCowan, he has done well coming in. He's not been overawed by joining his boyhood heroes. But ahead of him, you have Bernardo, you have Hatate, and you have McGregor. So I can understand why he gets not very much game time at the moment. Trusty, I think, will come back in on Sunday. I think they have to re-establish the partnership, Carter Vickers and Trusty, because regrettably for Liam Scales, the fans have turned on him for performances against Rangers.
I don't think they have, actually. I certainly haven't. I mean, he did a great job when he came in, and he's had a few dodgy moments, but he's done very well for us. And I don't want to make him a whipping boy, but if we spent £6 million on Trusty, then if he's on the bench, He should be playing, in my opinion.
Yeah. At the same time though, Scott, look, Celtic are already in a strong we're already in a strong position, so they need to pay a lot of money to try and bolster that squad and lift it above a level that it was before. I mean, Bernardo still cost a few million pounds. He's been in good form. He's been slightly better than Arnie Engels, so Arnie Engels sits out the game. Yes, Celtic lose it, but is that not now sort of with hindsight? You can't just play players because they were expensive, because otherwise you would play Adam Ida instead of Kyogo, which I didn't hear anyone suggesting prior to kickoff yesterday.
For me, if you're the manager, once you start making decisions based on how much the club spent for them and not performance, then you've got a real problem. I think the fans would accept that as well. So it is easy to say, listen, we've paid so and so for this player, they need to play, they need to have a run of games. All the players out with Luke McCowan, maybe Adam Ida, have had a run of games. So I think when it comes down to a Rangers-Celtic game, Brendan Rodgers is picking his best team in terms of how they've trained that week and performances over recent games.
Because that's the thing, Danny. If Engels does play, who would it have been instead of Hatate or Bernardo? Would you have gone?
Hatate, definitely. I mean, Hatate's a quality player, and I get that, but he's not on it at the moment, and he hasn't been on it for a few weeks.
Would his form concern you, Scott, if you were Brendan Rodgers or the likes?
It wouldn't concern me. I think he's had a slight dip. I think he's got enough quality. We've all seen it, that he'll come out the other end and in a good position. What Celtic do have, though, they do have players who can come in and step up. Engels obviously looking to come in and make a big difference. Luke McCowan for me might have been the one, but I would have went with, just because obviously being a massive Celtic fan, and for me coming off the bench and being patient and actually showing quality within that Celtic side, I think it would have been a good game to let him go and feel that experience and show his qualities.
I think what we're seeing emerging here since the end of the game yesterday is a Celtic support who are saying to themselves and to us via this programme, Celtic aren't as smart as they think they are, and they're looking for a much better performance and mentality against St Mirren on Sunday. I think the Celtic fans on Sunday will really be asking questions of Brendan Rodgers and the team.
Thank you to Danny. What about James? What's your take on things Celtic related, James?
Good evening to you, Scott and George.
Davey.
We were beaten by a better team, end of story. Why is everybody shooting down Scales? Why are they not shooting down McGregor, Hatate, Taylor, Johnston?
I think because,
James, to be fair, the last caller did give it to Hatate, and I think we've had a bit of that.
But I think, James, first of all, Scales gives away the ball that leads to the first goal. Therefore, he's a bad boy in the eyes of the supporters. He doesn't get any better. He's a nightmare all day long.
I think he's been brilliant for his shoot. I'll tell you, something. We're sitting at a tap table with a goal difference that gives us 12 points. What players made us that? The same team that's played on yesterday's Old Firm game. That's the players that got us at the top of the table. It was a bad day. I couldn't tell you why we had a bad day. I don't know. Scales was brilliant for us last season, especially in the Champions League this season as well. And we've got players who can do it for Boyle. But I would say yesterday was the worst performance under Brendan Rodgers in an Old Firm game.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right. But
not one player would get past Mark.
Yeah, but you go back.
I want to ask James, is there a suggestion, though, James, that that's because Rangers have sort of figured it out? Would any of that concern you?
No, not really. Honestly, I mean, we've got a 12-point gap with a goal difference. And it's the players who played yesterday. It's their hard work and their effort where we are today. So why are we getting fellow Celtic fans on saying, don't let Scales play again? An absolute disgrace. It was a defeat, and it was overdue, because I've been following Celtic for 50 years, and each side gets a run, a good luck, 8-9 games without getting beat, or 10-11 games without defeat. It happened, but we're still tapped, so basically
Because it's the unique nature of this particular fixture. Rio Hatate is getting it in the neck, along with Scales and others. Rio Hatate's first game against Rangers, he scored 2 goals in the first half. He was an instant sensation in the fixture. And you move on a couple of years, and because he wasn't any use yesterday, the fans are on his case, and every other player. It's just the unique nature of this fixture. No one's saying that it was potentially disastrous in terms of the outcome of the title race. No one is saying there's a crisis, but in this game, when you lose one, everybody gets the blame.
There is nothing wrong with a bit of perspective, Scott, I suppose. It's that old one, if you had offered Celtic the chance to be 11 points clear on the 3rd of January with the goal difference, it's a very nice position to be in. But that's kind of why we love it. You're allowed to be knee-jerk a bit. You're allowed to let results ruin your weekend and make your weekend. It's just the nature of it.
Yeah, I think James makes a few really good points here in terms of the Scales, that, as the previous caller said, about not playing again. I'm completely with James on that. I think when he's come in and been asked to do a job for Celtic, I think he's been excellent. I think the full team were off it yesterday. Rangers, in terms of set-up and that, were a factor in that. But ultimately, when Brendan Rodgers and the Celtic players went back into training, they'll strip it down as in isolation was we didn't perform, they'll go through obviously all the analysis stuff that they would do, and that'll be isolated for the players and the management. It won't be a big deal. It'll be very calm moving on to the next one, and they'll be ready for the next one. As James said, this squad's been fantastic this season. Some of the performances we've seen been the best from the Celtic side in many, many years. So yes, we'll have an immediate reaction for the conversations that we're having, but this side, it's a really good Celtic side.
You think that was a big game? Let's play one of our own. Thank you to James. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. Is this the first? Is this the first of the new year?
It would be.
Imagine that. Seriously. What? Bragging rights to last year, calendar year. The first Beat the Pundit winner of 2025. That is the incentive tonight. So give us a call before 7 o'clock, 0141 951 1025, and you could be playing Beat the Pundit next. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West, 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans are here. Absolutely no prizes for guessing which game from yesterday has dominated things so far. We've had a lot of criticism of Celtic. Liam Scales is getting it, Rio Hatate's getting it, the big money signings on the bench are getting it. So Celtic fans, how do you look back on yesterday? It is, as everybody knows, still a big gap at the top. Is it a sign of things to come, Rangers fans? Has it got you excited at all? How do you look at the big picture? And in the more specific sense, what impressed you yesterday? Keep it coming. I think there's plenty of time to go over more from yesterday. What about elsewhere though? Good games all round the place. Big win for you Kilmarnock fans. Aberdeen still struggling, Hearts moving upwards, Motherwell losing in the capital. Quite a lot going on there. So again, give us a call on the usual number and we will play this first. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Come on then, the first Beat the Pundit of 2025. I'm looking, what are you shaking your head at?
I'm thinking of the last one that I had in 2024 where we went to a tiebreak question. Uh-huh. And the question was, how many different teams have won the Scottish Cup? And the caller,
that's right,
got it bang on the money. The answer was 25. And he got it bang on the money. I said 30, which on any other night might have won me the tiebreak. But 25—that's
the fine margins at this level, Hugh. You'd see at this level, it's fine margins. Anyway, let's see what the new year has in store. Just imagine we could go on like a long winning run for the listeners, stretching deep into 2025. It has to kick off with Fred, who's on the line. How's it going, Fred?
Hi there, how you doing?
Good. Have you ever played before?
I believe I played about 4 years ago against Goblin.
Oh, that must have been an easy win.
I get beat in a tiebreaker.
Oh, it's never good to admit that, Fred. You're a brave man.
I need to say it, but I get beat in a tiebreaker.
Right, let's bounce back. Let's bounce back if we can. Heads, it will be Hugh Keevans. Tails, it will be Scott Allen. And it is Tails. Scott up against Fred from Gartcosh. So what we do is give Scott something else to listen to, some greatest hits radio more than likely, nice and loud in his ears, Fred. So it's just us, where you have 30 seconds, answer as many as you can, and pass if you do not know the answer. Okay?
Yep.
Right, your time goes on the clock, and your time starts now. Who scored Rangers' third goal yesterday?
Daniel.
Who's older, James Wilson or Luke Littler?
James Wilson.
Where would you find the Davy Cooper stand?
Ibrox.
How many top flight red cards were there yesterday?
One.
True or false, there were no Scottish Premiership hat-tricks in 2024?
False.
Which Scotland manager first capped Scott McTominay?
Leaving.
Okay, let's bring back Scott Allen. Can you hear us?
Yes.
Tough questions. Sorry to say that to you. Let's kick off the new year.
I've got some record as it is.
Are you struggling, are you? You still 50-50?
50-50.
We've got to improve that.
What are your tees, okay?
Right, 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Who scored Rangers' third goal yesterday?
Danilo.
Who's older, James Wilson or Luke Littler?
James Wilson.
Where would you find the Davy Cooper stand?
Motherwell.
How many top flight red cards were there yesterday?
One.
True or false, there were no Premiership hat-tricks scored in 2024?
True.
Which Scotland manager first capped Scott McTominay?
Steve Clark.
What do you think? What's the verdict, Fred? Have you done enough?
I think the Motherwell one. I can't believe it. I can't believe I got that at all.
Let's go through them and find out. A nice, easy one, if you like, to start off. Who scored Rangers third? It was Danilo. You both got it. Who is older, James Wilson of Hearts or Luke Littler of the Darts? Because it's obviously Darts Mania. They're both 17.
Because he's 18 January, I think.
Luke Littler is 44 days older than James Wilson. You both got it wrong. So it is 1-1.
Yeah.
You've been into that? You've been all over the Darts?
I genuinely listened to
just like everybody else.
Yeah.
You've been watching it, you?
Not at all.
Not up your street, is it?
No.
You must be the only person.
Well,
you're too sophisticated, aren't you?
Good luck to him. You know, I hope he wins the title tonight.
What have you been watching instead?
Lots of things.
Traitors?
Gavin and Stacey.
That was 10 days ago.
Then there was another documentary about the making.
What are you asking about?
Landman.
Oh no, that's evaded me. What's
very
that?
Good. Billy Bob Thornton.
You must be on The Traitors, surely.
No, I've never seen it.
What?
Never.
Outrageous. Anyway, where would you find the Davy Cooper stand? It is Motherwell Fir Park. It's the one behind the goal, if you like, opposite the big away stand. So Scott got it, goes 2-1 in front. You both knew that there was one top flight red card, Jason Holt, against Hibs. Any complaints?
Nope.
Straight red?
Straight red.
VAR doing its job?
VAR doing its job, yeah.
You know, it's interesting on that, Hugh. It just shows you how we work here. And I don't think we have to apologise for it. There's an inevitability. You know the KMI panel?
Yeah.
And we all get all, you know, well, they said that Jack Butland, it should have been a goal, and they said that Liam Scales. The KMI panel outcomes for yesterday have been released already. One thing you can't accuse them of is being slow. They're always out straight away. There are about 16 incidents from yesterday, and the KMI panel say that every single one was correct yesterday. And what's more than that, every one of them, apart from one, was by a 5-0 margin, not the kind of 3-2 split. But that won't make headlines anywhere. No one will talk about yesterday's KMI panel because it's only interesting if there's a stick to beat people with.
Let me tell you from a journalistic perspective, man bites dog is a story. Dog bites man is not a story.
I like it. I'm going to store that one. I almost actually found myself using one of your phrases live on TV this morning.
I was watching you.
I felt a bit dirty about it.
The Rangers manager one.
Did you spot it? It just happened before I knew it. What is it? The Rangers manager.
The Rangers manager who cannot beat Celtic cannot be the Rangers manager.
I changed it slightly, but I just tried to, you know, get that logic in there. Anyway, true or false, there were no Premiership hat-tricks scored in 2024. True. You both got it. So that's quite a stat, that, isn't it? None in 2024. The Scotland manager who first capped Scott McTominay was Alex McLeish. So I'm afraid, Fred, you have been done. You got two on the board. But Scott Allen got a few more than that. So hard lines, Fred.
Thank you.
Good man. There
we go. Take it easy. Have a good new year.
And you, take care. You happy with that, Scott? Up and running.
Once I had the wee thought process with Scott McTominay, I'd got to Alex McLeish, but obviously on the buzzer.
See, the young Rangers guys.
Did you say Steve Clark?
Yeah.
Right, sorry, but you still got, was it a 4-2 win?
Yeah,
that's fine.
The young Rangers guys with no time for you, and now your name's Mudden Gartkosh.
That's it, slaughtered him. Absolutely slaughtered him for doing him over. But anyway, it's a good victory. Let's see how quickly into the new year we can get a win for the listeners. That has to be the aim. So if you fancy it, Monday night, 01419511025. Speaking of which, Tommy has dialed the number. Tommy, how are you?
I'm very well. I hope you are too. Happy New Year to the three of you.
Thank you very much. Same to you. Take it as a Rangers fan, it got off to a good start.
Well, it was a lot better performance than I was actually looking forward to, because for being honest, I didn't expect us to get a result yesterday. So I think as Rangers fans, we should start being the manager a bit of backing, because he's had nothing but flack for about the last 4 or 5 months because of the performances. But I think in the cup final, he showed a certain bit of nous where he managed to nullify Celtic in a few ways. But yesterday it got even better, because I think they learned that leave the ball with Scales at the back and let him bring it forward.
And then Pounds, as Scott Allen was saying earlier, they set the traps and they pounced on him. And he was probably, I've been saying it for a long while, I don't rate the boys, Celtic fans love him and everything else. I've heard it for the last 18 months, how good he is. But not to me, you know, him and Taylor on that Celtic left side at back, I thought could be got at.
How does this work though, Tommy? Because I'm not saying you're wrong to say back Philippe Clement, because it's entirely your prerogative. But I think you would also agree that it's not outrageous to suggest Rangers might drop points at Easter Road. I don't think that would be an alien idea. And then Monday night, you wouldn't be able to phone in on Monday night and say, let's stick with Philippe Clement, would you? It's going to take more than this, you think, to get Rangers properly back where they need to be.
Of course it is. Without a doubt. I mean, looking at the team yesterday, right? I mean, we're playing with probably one of the regular starters at the back. Everybody was shouting to get proper dropped. And, you know, you would probably play Jeffrey. Actually, he played really well yesterday, Jeffrey. I think he put Coon in his place early doors. And getting forward, he even got forward for the third goal and setting that goal up. The boy played really well. But what you've got to look at is, as Clement's been saying for a while, it's a young team. You know, Ingemani's young, Diamandi's young, Raskin, terrific performance yesterday. Hadji's not that old, is he? You know, there's a few youngins in that team. Jeffrey's not an old player. So, you know, it's going to take a bit of time. We're starting to get players back. Over the horrendous month, losing Suter, Balogun, and then at the weekend, Tavernier get injured, then they're not in the hospital. Butland get injured, then they're not in the hospital. So we seem to be getting the odd one back, and then we lose another two. But there's a young team there. Cortis is to come in. Now, when he was just starting to find his feet when he got that injury, so you've got to give a guy a bit of slack. We're miles behind Celtic in the league. The league's probably finished. It would be really bad. You know, Celtic would need to collapse for Rangers to get back into it. But at the same time, we're not going to get anywhere. We can't afford to sack Clement, money-wise, right? So we're going to need to go with him. Let's see what he can do over these next few months, because he seems to have worked out where you nullify Celtic, which is a good starting point as far as I'm concerned, because Callum McGregor was invisible yesterday because of the job that he did. And he'd done the same job on him in the cup final. And if I'm being honest, we deserved to win that cup final. Now, I know Celtic ended up winning it on penalties, but we were a better team than them during that. I mean, they got a deflected goal and a decision and a penalty that should never have been when it went to VAR. The VAR should have gave Rangers that penalty, and we could have won that cup final without it going to penalties. So get a guy a bit of slack. That's all I can say. There's a few youngins in that team that have proven to be, you know, Ingemani at Motherwell brought us back in, got us a 2-2 draw. We could have won the game if we'd probably started with a full team. Sports science and all that carry on that goes with it. But at the same time, there's a lot of young players there that I think you've got to give them a chance.
I can understand.
Where does this leave the Rangers manager, Hugh?
I didn't make this world. I just live in it. And
okay,
if Celtic win on Sunday and Rangers lose, he's back down at the bottom of the pile, because that will have undone everything that was good about yesterday. I don't know where Clement stands, but I do agree with Tommy that I think it's unlikely that Rangers have the inclination or the wherewithal to be rid of him. And yesterday has bought him an awful lot of goodwill. However, I repeat, in this city, if he loses at Hibs on Sunday and Celtic win and yesterday's result is nullified, then he'll have to take the consequences.
We're talking about what difference that one game can make, Scott. We are in the knee-jerk capital of the world. Knee-jerk, Rangers are in a very knee-jerk situation, a precarious situation, because Tommy's on and he's happy and he's got every right to be, and yesterday was good and it's great, let's back the manager. That one 90 minute game goes the other way. It's 17 points tonight and we're in full come on out mode tonight, aren't we?
Oh, yeah,
majorly. So does he just need to find that run of consistency? Is that the only thing that's going to sort of take this away?
I seen the game against Hibs is now huge in terms of Rangers building on that performance, which we've all seen yesterday. There were so many positives individually from the players, especially as a club. It was backs against the wall in terms of injuries and the pressure that was on Philippe Clement before the game. So if they do manage to get a win against Hibs on Sunday, I think it will be a real statement that Rangers are in an upward trajectory and something to build on, because ultimately the difference between both sides is Celtic's consistency week in, week out. They slipped up yesterday. Rangers can't afford any more slip ups away from home.
And you have to say the obvious thing has been Rangers away form. Rangers have got
That's been the difference.
The same record essentially at home as Celtic do, and I think they've played a game more, but they are, I think they're mid-table at best for away form, and they go to Hibs and Dundee in the space of the next 6 days,
and,
Hugh.
And on the back of St Mirren and Motherwell, it's a perfectly legitimate question to ask. Yeah. Can they overcome their own dreadful away form when they play those matches against Hibs and Dundee? It's a perfectly legitimate question. It's not trying to cast doubt over what was achieved yesterday. The away form thus far has simply not been good enough.
Scott was talking earlier, Tommy, about how it's not as simple as saying just play the same way as you did yesterday, because Hibs are going to set up differently from Celtic. Dundee are going to set up different from Celtic. But were there any maybe personnel selections or things that you want to see staying the same from yesterday? I mean, like, is it Yilmaz? Does he get to stay in? Does Dujon Sterling stay in at centre back? Are there things that you think Rangers will take on for a bit longer?
I don't think we've got a squad at the minute where we could bring anybody in to replace Yilmaz and Sterling at centre back, because Taverner's seemingly going to be out for a few weeks. Balligan is probably going to be out for a few weeks, and Suter as well. So it's probably going to be the same team. But Rangers just need to learn how to set up and play against that low block, because I watched this in one game. I watched the Motherwell game. The sports science carry on of leaving Cherney out and Ingemani out in the Motherwell game cost us, right? So maybe he needs to take less notice of what sports science are saying, because I watched the game yesterday and Chris Boyd was going mental about sports science. The manager's got to pick his best 11 and play them. And he listed players that had played in, you know, games, 60-odd games a season over the last 10 to 15 years, and we're playing constantly. You know, this carry on of changing the team every week and making 4 and 5 changes, I don't think it does you any good. But they played well yesterday. You know, it was good to watch. And obviously, being Rangers fans are going to be happy today. Celtic fans are going to be, you know, in a bit of a cloud. But at the same time, I think we've got to give them a bit of backing. But I'd like to say something before I go, Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
I was at Ibrox in 1971, and I met my mate there. And he never came home. But the yesterday's silence, the 2 minute silence for the fans was just tremendous. It was hard to see, because it's not been that way when we've had both sets of fans in the crowd for years. But it was lovely to see yesterday that it went really well, the ceremony beforehand and everything else. So, you know.
Well, again, to go back to the point I made earlier on, you know, if you can't be quiet for 2 minutes in memory of 66 people who lost their lives, what's wrong with you? And the silence should have been impeccable, and it was impeccable. And it's just a pity that you know, other people with the throwing of coins, now been investigated by Police Scotland, let themselves down before the occasion was over.
Yeah, poignant moment to start that game, Tommy. You're absolutely right. Thank you to Tommy in Doncaster on 01419511025. Let's hear a bit more from Philippe Clement. Tommy says, back him. Let's back this Rangers manager. He says the challenge is now for his players to reach those heights on a consistent basis.
That's a challenge. So that's what we're working on every day. That's what I'm pushing on every day. That's what, with all the staff, we're trying to create that physically also. They can do this every 3 days, but it's not something that you can do in a few months to make this evolution with all squad. That's why you need to make this physically also, this rotation in moments. In that way, we need to make the depth in the squad bigger, that everybody can go to this level of the players who play today.
Good time to call, and we'll get a full-time teaser next as well. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Scott Allen and Hugh Evans are here. 01419511025. We're going to speak to Jerry, who's on in just a second. Let's give them a full-time teaser first, though. It's a good one. Thanks to Cameron in Johnston. Since 2003, can you name 6 goalkeepers who've kept a clean sheet on their Old Firm debut? sometimes just wonder why people are asking the question and it leads you straight to the first answer.
Since when? Since when?
Since 2003, six goalies who've kept a clean sheet on their Old Firm debut.
Arthur Boric.
You seriously don't know where to start on this one? Sometimes the clue is in
Liam Kelly.
The existence of the question. Liam Kelly. He's actually not been mentioned. I know he didn't have much to do, but what a day that must have been for him. He said, you know, he waited 20 odd years for his Rangers debut. He then, well, he does expect to go back in the back onto the bench, sorry. I don't think I'm giving any secrets away here. Just a sort of personal moment on, would that be Hogmanay? Hogmanay. I was at Rangers training ground working, chatting away to Liam Kelly as he's leaving the building. Jack Butland walks past and says, "See you later, Liam," and off they go. And he's meant to play in the game and he's not, and you know, health scares come about and all of a sudden you're pitched in. So it must have been quite a moment for him yesterday.
Oh yeah, Rangers fan, simply to be on the park would have been quite a moment, but to be on the park and be three goals up, that is quite a moment.
Yeah, and he had to listen, he made to make that save and he made it. I think, listen, it was as comfortable a debut as you could probably ask for, but listen, you still need to go and do there, be good in the ball, make the right decisions. Rangers did go long from kickouts a lot yesterday, which probably helps him because he is really good with his feet, but he'll be delighted with that sort of debut. As you said, came through there as a kid, doesn't get any better than that.
Goalkeepers have their weird moments in that. Scott Bain, I remember making his debut in an Old Firm match and it was at Ibrox and he was picking the ball out the net after 2 minutes. So,
which means he's not answered to the teaser. Well done. Let's go to Jerry, who's on the phone. How are you, Jerry?
Not too bad.
What are you thinking tonight?
Basically, I took a night to watch that and I watched some of it back. And I've heard the criticism about Celtic not being playing well for 6 weeks or whatever and just scraping by. I don't think it's a coincidence. I think it all stems from the Bruges game. Bruges figured out Brendan Rodgers' system. He sat on the halfway line, let the centre half get the ball, went man for man, stopped Tune doing a lot of damage that night. And Mead scored a good goal that night. That was a bit of magic. But Aberdeen done actually the same in the game up at Pittodrie. And it was a wee bit of magic for Hattati that night. Rangers done it in the cup final. And yesterday, Rangers backed off. It's the same as what Bruges done. Let Celtic took the ball. They closed them down in the dangerous areas out wide. Liam Kelly kept kicking the ball out to the side of the park every time. He didn't kick it through the middle. He kicked it out to the side. And when you close Celtic down, they cramped the game. They let them get to the halfway and then they cramped the game. And they tried to get Celtic to give the ball away in dangerous areas. And they were forcing Scales. Scales isn't a great pass to the ball. Taylor was hiding. That's why he got hooked. The manager's persisted in playing this, and he's been figured out, and it's about time he's swallowed his pride and changed a bit of that. Because
I think we have to keep a sense of perspective here, Jerry. You know, in the calendar year 2024, Celtic lost one league game. One. There are 11 points clear at the top of the table. Yes, they've had their ups and downs. However, to consider yesterday as being part of a slump would be totally inaccurate. And to suggest that it might imply an imminent collapse on Celtic's part is to use a vivid imagination as well. Yes, they were well beaten yesterday. Absolutely no doubt about it. And nobody played well in a Celtic jersey. No one. But It's a stretch to say that they've been worked out and therefore it's downhill from here.
I think I take your point, Jerry, in that, you know, things have maybe, you know, they've tailed off and they've not been as good, the performances after Bruges. But if Celtic's like low points, if you like, include, you know, 5-0 Ross County and 3-0 Hibs and 4-0 Motherwell and 4-0 St Johnstone. Now, I know Celtic have all the money and they certainly should beat these teams, but is it not going to be difficult to just do that all the time? I mean, you play teams four times a season, everybody analyses everybody else to death nowadays. Like teams are going to figure you out, they're going to be close. Is it not just all about whether you can win more games than everybody else come the end of the season?
If you're playing teams that you say that you've got better players and more finance, I agree, I'm not saying that. Aberdeen are a physical side. They're a big physical side. They were at home that night and they played it better. It's not a coincidence. Like they gave Leipzig the runaround. They gave Aberdeen the runaround at Hampden because they didn't play them right. Now, better teams, I'm saying to you, better teams with better players have figured out that system. And when he's playing better teams, he has to adjust that system. Because I think the players, after 10 minutes, look at this and they know what's coming.
Well, the stats don't back you up because Celtic are well in front in the championship.
Jerry is talking about these.
He's taking it in context. The
bigger games, but
the shape of Bruges, which the two games that you would compare Bruges and the last two Rangers games in terms of that fluent Celtic attack and the amount of obviously chances that they create week in, week out. That's the two games where they've been really nullified due to a shape behind the ball. I totally agree with Jerry in that point. I just don't think other teams, when you then go man for man with Celtic players, you would expect the Celtic players who are of a better ability to outthink them.
Would Celtic at the start of the season not have regarded where they are in terms of the Champions League as being satisfactory? You know, if they beat Young Boys mid-January.
Yeah, that is going to be the difficulty, Jerry, isn't it? I mean, if Celtic get through this Champions League group stage and gone to win the league the way that you expect them to, can you be too critical of the manager for not changing the style gets you there?
I'm not being too critical of the manager. What I'm saying to you is, if better teams, and I'm not disrespecting the other team in Scotland, I'm not disrespecting any of the teams, Celtic are better players than them, I understand that. But what I'm saying to you is, if you're playing against teams, better players, better systems, better coaches, then you need to evolve your own system. It's getting figured out.
Why is it always the system that's wrong, Lloyd, rather than just what you do within it?
I think what Jerry's saying is that the system that Bruges used and what Rangers used yesterday have both impacted Celtic's attacking
players.
Sure,
but you're just not going to win every game. Your system cannot come out on top on every game forever.
Sometimes it needs to come down to individual brilliance and all these type of things. That managers, they set up a team to get your best players on the ball as much as possible. If that doesn't work, then players need to come up with ideas on the pitch, especially when it's man for man. When it's man for man, it is difficult playing in the areas which Coon and Holt and Callum McGregor and Hitati want to go on the ball. It's difficult. You need to then come out with the structure and try and move Rangers, but they didn't, and that's why Rangers were superior in the game.
Because, like, you know, if Leipzig came or the first Rangers game, it's not like these teams had no idea what to do with Celtic. They just they tried their bit. Celtic tried their bit. Celtic came out on top. Now, sometimes that's not going to work.
But Leipzig didn't do that. Leipzig pressed Celtic high, and that suits Celtic.
But that's what I'm saying. I feel like there's just a bigger...
I think Jerry's saying it in terms of when he's certain opposition.
I know what Jerry means, but Brendan Rodgers is not... If you're 11 points clear and you're potentially going to go through in the Champions League, you're not just going to change. You're going to have faith in your system, and then at times it maybe won't work on the day.
Yeah. Then it comes down to the technical things, which Brendan Rodgers obviously spoke about after the game yesterday. Was on the ball.
Because by the way,
unforced errors.
Because by the way, was yesterday not a bit different? Did Celtic's fullbacks not stay much wider than they usually would yesterday? Did they come in the park anywhere near as often?
No.
So there you go. So yesterday was different, and it didn't work.
They must have tweaked it then, Gordon.
That's what I'm saying. So it's not like things never change. I just feel like we put a lot of emphasis on this stuff these days.
I think if Brendan Rodgers is listening, he'll be thinking, what do I have to do here? You know, one game away from the next phase of the Champions League. I'm 11 points clear at
Might
the top
lose it,
of
and then
the...
Jerry will come on and say, told you so, shug.
I just think this is all as a consequence of Celtic getting a going over from Rangers yesterday. I think it shocked the Celtic fans, and they are coming out with everything now, from Scales should never play again to everyone's now worked out Brendan Rodgers. It's a busted flush.
Let's hear a bit more from him then. He says he's still delighted with the bigger picture despite the result.
Disappointed, naturally. I can look at it from two perspectives. I think I can analyse the game today and see that we weren't very good and the better team won. So I can accept that. The bigger picture, we reached the halfway point in the season. 11 points clear. Players have been absolutely first class up until this point in so many ways. And this setback today from losing the game, you can learn from and be better for going forward. So, but on the game, best team won, deserve to win. For us, bigger picture and a great place in the league. And this is just a little reminder where the things it takes to win a game.
And almost to the continuation of what we said about Rangers, it just rolls on to Hibs for them.
Yeah.
For Celtic, in theory, it's a more winnable fixture. It's a home game, it's against St Mirren. But then with that comes its own pressure, Hugh. If for some reason that was to go wrong, then Jerry will be back on, and I would expect it. And then, then it looks like yesterday's is some sort of turning point or some sort of catalyst or whatever word you want to use.
Bear in mind that Rangers kick off at 12 noon, and if they beat Hibs, Celtic's lead is 8 points when Celtic kick off against St Mirren at 3 o'clock. If anything happened to Celtic and they drop points at home to St Mirren, I would fully understand if people like Jerry came on and said, look, I told you so, the Rangers game has started something and they've gone into a serious decline. I'll listen to that argument if Celtic drop points at home to St Mirren. That's why I say when Celtic go out, they'll be sitting in front of a crowd who will be saying, go on then, make up to us for what you did to us at Ibrox on Thursday.
I know it's a very easy sort of cliche avenue maybe to go down, Scott, but I wonder how much does home advantage help? You know, we talk about this sometimes, and we talk about, you know, no away fans. We'll never really know because you can't measure it. But see if you can get your home crowd on side like that, the way Rangers did yesterday, and they start well.
Yeah, of course. Obviously, you feed off obviously energy that's brought in the stadium. On the flip side, though, when it's negative energy, you can see how it impacts a team. So I think it's very simple. You've seen how Rangers fans have reacted to performances previously in the season and the negative impact it's had on the team. When you bring a performance which then lifts the crowd, Rangers are the best performance of the season.
Is that what it's about, Hugh, trying to get that start, giving people something to buy into? It's almost hard to imagine that, you know, can you get that type of performance away from home in these fixtures? I know Celtic have gone to Ibrox and won, haven't they, since this, you know, no fans thing started, but it just must help. It must do.
Oh yeah, I mean, yesterday, from Philippe Clement's perspective, it's won him time. From Brendan Rodgers' perspective, it's got him criticism, which he rarely gets. And now it's all about what happens in the next game. You know, there's no or very little time to dwell on yesterday's match because circumstances might change again come Sunday afternoon.
Frank is on the line. How's it going, Frank?
Quite well, thank you.
Good. What have you got for us?
Well, I'm a bit depressed, not dejected. I'm 95 and I've been supporting Celtic for 87 years. I still get to the games in a wheelchair. But good players don't suddenly become bad players. And I think that was just a blunt yesterday.
Frank, you're the only person ever on this show who's older than Hugh Keevans. And by some margin, I have to say as well.
And may you stay well, Frank. You're right. I mean, the fact of the matter is these things do happen. I go back to, for example, Martin O'Neill's first Old Firm derby. 6-2 for Celtic against Rangers. Next derby against Rangers at Ibrox, 5-1 to Rangers. As I always say in this programme, it is a separate life form. It's not like anything else. What happened yesterday, no one saw coming. Not the Celtic fans, not the Rangers fans. And now we're dealing with the repercussions where people are critical of Brendan Rodgers and saying that he's too predictable in terms of style. Individual players are getting it in the neck. Philippe Clement, there wasn't a Rangers fan who called this programme earlier in the season who wanted Philippe Clement to stay, and now they believe that they have seen the future.
A great occasion for the cliche as well, because I started getting annoyed that the form goes out the window, because I thought, well, does it? Because Celtic tend to win them all. Does form go out the window? And yesterday it did. So you could all have your moment on that. Frank, were there any pass marks in green and white yesterday?
I thought Caster Vickers measured up. I think, in fact, he sees a certain goal.
Yeah, he's been the only one, Frank. You know, in the cup final, he was ultra dependable. And had the big moment in the match when Rangers ought to have created an easy tap-in for a goal, and Carter Vickers saved the situation. He did well, relatively speaking, yesterday, but as we've agreed, Frank, yesterday was just a write-off. That Celtic did not rise to the occasion, did not meet the demands of the occasion, were well and truly trounced, and at 3-0... they got off lightly because it should have been 5 or 6.
Scott, what do you think about the first goal? I saw some suggestions. People thought Kasper Schmeichel should have done better. Is that on the money? Is it unfair?
I think it's slightly unfair. I think the way Hadji hits it, you'd always taught as a player nearest, if you hit early, you take the goalie by surprise, which I think it did. He then tries to get across to it. I just think it's a good finish. Ultimately, for Rangers' point of view, I think an easy one to kind of label on the goalkeeper, that, because it's from such a distance and it's low, but not for me.
So Frank, it doesn't sound like you fear Celtic will be derailed in any way by this.
No. If in the unlikely event that the Celtic were to lose the league, then they would not be forgiven, you know. But that's not going to happen. So I'm quite confident. So we can leave it at that.
Frank, you're a good man. Thank you for taking the time. That was Frank on the line on 01419511025. Makes Hugh Keevans look like a young pup. Unbelievable.
Hey. Incredible,
that.
Isn't it?
More
Frank.
Power to you, Frank.
Brilliant. Talks more sense than you as well.
Absolutely.
For what it's worth. Right, since 2003, can you name 6 goalies who've kept a clean sheet on their Old Firm debut? Liam Kelly, obviously.
Yeah.
Ronald Waterous.
Yes, well done.
Oh, get on. Fraser Forster?
Nope.
Did Cammy Bell do it?
Nope.
Oh.
There's a more sort of obvious in your face one. No, that clue didn't quite land the way I hoped
Kasper
it would.
Schmeichel.
Kasper Schmeichel. Okay, 3 down, 3 to go. We'll get them next. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Quick night as expected. Looking back on the big talking points from yesterday, plenty of time left if you want to give us a call on 01419511025. Some other big games I'd like to discuss as well before we move on. What about the teaser? Since 2003, can you name 6 goalkeepers who've kept a clean sheet on their Old Firm debut? Now, that was sent in to us by Cameron in Johnston. If you like the sounds of that, the aim of the game is that you email the question over, and generally the pundits struggle to answer your questions in the last part of the show. So full time at Clyde1.com is the email. If you're interested, please jump aboard. You've got Liam Kelly, Kasper Schmeichel, and Ronald Waterous so far.
David Marshall.
Nope.
That's true, is that, hasn't it?
Alan McGregor.
Nope.
Oof. Javi Sanchez brought up.
No. What goalkeepers were at Celtic at your time, Scott Bullitt. Allen?
Did I say Bullitt?
Your time.
Craig Gordon.
Yes. Craig Gordon. Okay, 2 to get. I'm not sure we will get them before the end of the show, but we'll see how we get on. You almost forget, because we've been swept up in the madness of the games, that we're into transfer season. Uh-huh. Again, and a few bits of business getting done. Jamie McCart, you'll remember him of St Johnstone fame. Yep. He's gone to Hearts on a deal until 2029. Oof. Celtic have exercised the recall option on Dane Murray from Queen's Park.
Yeah.
I think you've all seen it said that. Does that mean Stephen Welsh is going to go, and then it's a homegrown player quota thing there? Zach Hemming back at St Mirren. I'm interested in that one, because Ellery Balcombe's been, you know, the number one all season. Zach Hemming's been there before, comes back on loan from Middlesbrough again. So,
and we know officially now that Celtic and Arsenal are in talks about the return of Kieran Tierney.
Now, that at this early stage, 3rd of January, if that does go through, you'd be hard pushed to find a bigger transfer story in Scotland this January, you'd imagine.
Yeah,
just with
incredible.
Everything that goes into that.
Incredible. The understanding is that Celtic have asked for Kieran to come on loan until the end of the season. I think that's a sensible way to go about the business, because Kieran, unfortunately, has had a lot of injury problems. And Celtic, I think, want to run the rule over him medically.
Let's do a quick link from one subject to another. What business will Aberdeen do, and how much do they need to do something? What has happened there? Could you have possibly... For I know that some people out there who pay attention to things like XG...
Yeah.
Scott will explain it to you after.
Explain it to me then as well, Gunther.
Would tell you that Aberdeen were always unlikely to keep up what they started at the start of the season. However, the drop-off has been...
Well, at one point, Aberdeen were 9 points ahead of Rangers. That's when the Clement must go bandwagon was in full flow. They're now 5 points adrift of Rangers. It's been a 14-point turnaround. They've gone 9 games without winning one. They're at Motherwell on Sunday. And although Motherwell have been seriously hampered by the loss of Lennon Miller because of a fractured ankle, it's a dangerous ground for Aberdeen to visit. To lose at home to Ross County, with the greatest respect to Don Cowie and his players, that's just not on, given the state that Aberdeen are in at the moment. And pressure mounts on Jimmy Tilleen, because you just can't, if you're Aberdeen Football Club, you just can't be going 9 games without winning one.
It's a complete drop off. I think that would be the worry in terms for Aberdeen fans. Obviously, such good form earlier on in the season, players firing all cylinders. Now it's as if they fell off a cliff. So something's got to give for Aberdeen, whether obviously signings come in January and make an impact and lift the side again. I think they'll need to get reinforcements, because at this moment in time, you just can't see where they're going to get a win from.
I mean, credit to Ross County. It's a great win for them. And it was almost like, you know, all the teams near the bottom won apart from St Johnston. So everybody moving up, you could say St Johnston with 10 men wasn't a dreadful point. What about the Dundee derby then?
Yeah.
Have, in light of the slide, Dundee United must be the success story of the early part of the season. They must have taken Aberdeen's crown, because up to third, newly promoted as well, Jim Goodwin, who had his spell at Aberdeen and Darvel and El Sacchio and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, for me, that's the rehabilitation story going on Tayside. Jim Goodwin was a figure of ridicule. We all remember the television pictures of him leaving Easter Road by the side door. And they went down with Dundee United, and people said he's got into the job far too early after leaving Aberdeen. He's not only won them promotion, he's now got them top three. And
going to shut the Nokia up.
I'm trying.
Do you know how I knew that was coming? Do you remember that old kind of noise?
It vibrates first.
Listen, it's a white Hyundai that's coming for me.
Oh, good on you.
So, yeah. You've
forgotten we were talking about, haven't
you? On a personal level, I'm delighted for Jim Goodwin, because he's been through a lot, and you know, I can only wish him well. And the job that he's doing is second to none at Tannadice.
I was up there last night. Tony Docherty was devastated. Jim Goodwin, the visiting fans, delighted. I quite like the madness of it all. Scott, you know, just under the lights, and it was frantic. And you know, Dundee United winning again, it's such an impressive run, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I think they've recruited really well in the summer. I think a lot of that is down to Jim Goodwin.
Can they keep Sam Dalby, do you think? So that's him up to 10. He's two ahead of Bruce Anderson and Kyogo. Wrexham, do they want him back? Do they want him back to sell him?
That's
to stay at Dundee United?
That's the thing. Wrexham, as obviously his parent club, would be looking at that, saying, while the iron's hot, we could probably get a fee in for him come the end of January. So it'll be an interesting one to look at. For Dundee United, it'd be a massive loss. But
how big a win was it for Hearts? I always say it. Yeah. And who do they play next? Motherwell play Aberdeen next.
Yeah.
It's just ingrained that you always feel that if Motherwell, they're quite generous. We're nice people in that part of the world.
But
somebody needs a wee favour.
Yeah, but Neil Critchley did admit that it was a strain on him watching the game, because they didn't canter to victory. But
they had a lot of chances, though, didn't they?
But in his position, any victory by any margin was important, because the place has gone toxic, and the one thing he can't do is go down at home. So for him, it was a big day. He soldiers on. St Johnstone are 5 points beneath them. I think Simo Vallecari has the hardest job of all, because Ross County are an oddity. They're winning games they shouldn't really win, They've taken the obligatory hammering from Celtic and the obligatory hammering from Rangers, but just get the impression that Don Cowie's not going to be troubled.
For Hearts, I know he had criticism for the mistake in Dingwall, but Craig Gordon is now 42, in case people hadn't noticed. Hogmanay, I think, was his birthday. And Hearts deserved to win the game, but they still had him to thank, because last minute, Jack Vale's header, it's the type of chance that could have ended up in the back of the net, and the goalkeeper came up trumps again.
Yeah, listen, he's 42 years of age. It's genuinely incredible that he's still performing at that level. So, listen, I think that's a pretty routine reaction save for Craig Gordon. We've seen him make it numerous times over the years.
I don't even remember being 42.
I'm not surprised at that. But anyway, right, we move on because we're nearly done. Can you name six goalies who've kept a clean sheet on their Old Firm debut since 2003? Liam Kelly, Casper Schmeichel, Craig Gordon, Ronald Vatterus. Your agent's got one. He's just sent a message in.
He's got an answer.
Yeah. Oh, I don't mean he like represents the. I don't know if he does, but he's just got an answer. Couple more? No.
Wait.
Think of one in the sort of Liam Kelly mould, if you like.
I'm thinking.
That sort of played unexpectedly.
Neil Alexander?
No. Been at the club. Academy graduate.
McCrory?
Yes. Robbie McCrory. And we're going way back for the other one. Probably 2003, funnily enough.
Which half of the Old Firm?
Celtic.
Zalewska.
Before that, Swedish.
Oh, Hedman.
Magnus Hedman. Hugh, I hope you and your white Hyundai get home safely.
What does a Hyundai look like?
Oh, never mind. Scott, oh, you'll be suspended, in fact.
Yes.
Sent off last week, so you won't be playing tomorrow. But all, enjoy your Friday night. GBX is up next, and we are back tomorrow. More Super Scoreboard than you could possibly dream of this weekend. We are here. Don't forget, I know it's the Championship that's on and there's no Premiership fixtures, but we are here for it. So make sure you're here at 2 o'clock tomorrow, and then a Premiership special on Sunday. GBX up next.